This is the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and it's my privilege to welcome you to our program today. I do hope that you'll stay tuned because the message that we have today is not only an enjoyable one, but it's one that I'm sure you're going to receive a rich, rich blessing from, especially as Pastor Phipps applies lessons to the message that he has chosen for today from the Bible. Before we begin our message, though, here's some music, a song that's often requested by Pastor Wendley Phipps, a song entitled Just Keep On Climbing.
A dream within your heart, and if you make a start, he wants for you to know. All of your needs he will supply, he's always standing by. He's there to see you through. So keep on climbing until you reach your goal. Just keep on striving with all your heart and soul. All things are possible with God. So don't give in. He'll move your mountains. He believes in your dreams. And when the road ahead seems long, with faith you can be strong. There to show the way. With every step you know what's right, you'll conquer in his mind. He'll bring that brighter day. You just keep on climbing.
That's music by Wendley Phipps here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. The song is entitled Keep On Climbing from the CD release, The Sun Will Shine Again. Well, my name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for the program, The More Abundant Life, and we're about to begin the message for today. So I invite you now to join Pastor Phipps in the sanctuary as he delivers the message entitled, Rescued by a Memory.
My message today is entitled, Rescued by a Memory. Our message comes to us at a time when the children of Israel were suffering under the weight of Philistinian oppression. Every morning they beseeched the throne of heaven to send them deliverance from above. Every night they petitioned God to move on their behalf. Year after year, they told God of their troubles, and it seemed as though their cries had not been heard. But church, in the stillness of every night, in the dawn of every new morning, God had heard their prayers. He called together the Council of Peace, and a plan was devised to save Israel from their oppressors. The messenger from heaven winged his way through space, carrying in a golden chalice the name of heaven's chosen vessel of deliverance. Church, that angel from heaven didn't stop by the temple to see the priests. Instead, he went directly to the house of Manoah and to his wife, who had been barren, childless for a very long time. The angel said to her, "Behold, you are childless now and bearest not, but you shall conceive and bear a son." The woman ran and told her husband Manoah, saying, "Good news. God sent an angel who told me that soon I would bear a child." Church, this morning, I do not wish to charge Manoah with the sin of doubt. But this we do know, Manoah wouldn't take his wife's word on the matter. Manoah felt that something this unbelievable, this incredible, he couldn't accept it until he heard a word from the Lord himself. Yes. And so when you read that passage of scripture, he prayed, "Lord, I believe my wife, but send the angel back." One more time. The Bible says that the angel appeared to them again. Manoah and his wife were convicted and convinced. Servant of the Lord says they knew not that the messenger that talked to them about the child that was to be born was none other than Jesus himself. Wow. Manoah asked the angel messenger, "A child of this importance, how are we to raise him?" The angel began by giving one of the first lessons we know of in scripture on prenatal care. The mother was not to drink strong drink. She was not to eat any unclean thing, because church, children are affected for good or evil by the prenatal habits of the mother. A mother must be controlled and principled and disciplined if her children are to stand a chance in this wild and wicked world. Not only mothers must be that way, but fathers too. "For fathers as well," says Ellen White, "both parents transmit their own characteristics, both mental and physical, to their children. Their dispositions, their appetites are all passed on to their children. And with each succeeding generation, the children," says the servant of God, "have less power to resist temptation than their parents." So you wonder why your children are going through what they're going through. Consequently, the tendency is for each generation to fall lower and lower. I think it was why the comedian and writer, the humorist Will Rogers, once said that God made man a little lower than the angels, and he's been going a little lower ever since. The Bible tells us that Samson grew in stature, was raised in the fear and admonition of God, Samson was righteous in conduct. His long hair carried a witness that he was a Nazarite. He was set apart for a special work. All through his formative years, Samson was prayed for, prayed over. His mother, father, devout in their faith, followed carefully the instructions given by Jesus himself on how to raise this child. Every day they had morning worship with Samson. Are you with me today? Every night before bed, Manoah and his wife prayed with Samson. Every day without fail, just as the Lord had commanded them, they read to Samson from the scriptures, made clear, explained to him its principles and precepts. But as Samson grew into his teenage years, this young man raised by church-going parents, are you with me today? Raised by faithful parents, turned his back on the values and the home training he received in his early years. Church, Samson thought he could, but he couldn't handle temptation. Have you noticed when you decide to do something wrong, opportunity is always present? Amen? One father tells how when his son was a youngster in grade school, his route home from school every day took him by an irrigation canal. He had been instructed not to play around the canal on his way home. It was not uncommon, you see, for youngsters to drown in the canal, in the open waterways. One afternoon, Jimmy came in a little later than usual. His pants were wet. Amen. Was muddy. He was carrying his shoes, had obviously been in the forbidden canal. His mother asked the question, "Jimmy, have you been in the canal?" Jimmy had obviously prepared himself for this question, this interrogative. He answered, "Yes, ma'am, but I didn't do it on purpose. I just fell in accidentally." Well, based on the evidence at hand, his mother then asked, "How is it that if you fell in accidentally, you didn't get your shoes and socks wet?" And Jimmy thought, just as quick as a wink, he came back, "Well, I just barely had time to get them off before I hit the water." Samson couldn't handle temptation. Samson's conduct became the fear of every godly parent. Samson started staying out all night in the streets. Some of you have children like that. Samson grew familiar with the loose girls, forbidden pleasures. Servant of God tells us that this pattern that Samson began with loose women would become a pattern which would darken the rest of his entire life. Whew. He tied his destiny to pernicious practices and sinful habits that would eventually lead to his destruction. His God-fearing parents tried to correct him. Oh, some of you have tried everything. By this time, Samson had developed an obstinate, incorrigible personality. He thought he knew it all. You got some children like that? Thought he was invincible. And before long, Samson turned his back on the faith, married a Philistine, someone outside of the truth. His passions overruled divine counsel, said to his parents, "Mom and Dad, what's wrong with this? She's a good person." Have you heard that before? "She pleases me well. Don't worry, we'll be all right. We'll make it." Church, those words still haunt many parents today. Most of the children who have said those words to their parents are no longer in the church. If you go into a marriage today other than God's way, if you are driven into a marriage by your own visions of joy and pleasure, you will make a mistake. You see, the people you meet aren't always what they claim to be. Everybody puts their best foot forward when they're courting and when they're dating. It's when they say, I do. You want to know what happened? Where did this person come from? You know I'm right. Well, instead of going into a marriage seeking personal happiness, you ought to go into your marriage with the purpose of glorifying God. Listen to this. Servant of God says about marriage, to all who seek first to honor him, God has promised wisdom. But there is no such promise to those who are bent on pleasing themselves. So if you go into a marriage bent on pleasing yourself, you will not have the wisdom to see what you need to see when you need to see it. Samson was so determined, so headstrong. Sisters, he even made the wedding arrangements himself. My. At the reception, he proposed a riddle to his guests. If they got it, they would owe Samson some money. Samson had a sure bet because he knew they couldn't get the riddle until he gave the answer to his wife. His wife then turned around and gave the answer to the men betting against Samson. So right then and there, Samson should have annulled that marriage. Right then and there, Samson should have known this marriage was going to be trouble. When your wife is telling people how to win against you, Samson left the marriage celebration, and you can read about it. He stripped and murdered 30 people to pay this gambling debt. When he got back, his bride had been given away to another man. Oh, when you're not doing God's will, nothing works for you. Finally, Samson went out into the streets, became an itinerant playboy, a roving vagabond, a gallant paramour, a glorified gigolo, a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. And many a night Samson was awakened by the Spirit of God, pleading with him to change his ways. He would resolve, commit himself to live the way God wanted him to live. But with each temptation, Samson was back to his old life of sin. Temptation always seemed to get the best of Samson. As strong as he was, he couldn't bring himself to resist the invitation of a whore. You know, some temptations can only be handled with that three-letter word, run! Run! A pastor warned his new intern in the ministry, a handsome young intern, about the dangers of immorality, and his young intern said, I always date in a group because there's safety in numbers. The wise pastor replied, yes, that is so, but there's more safety in Exodus than there is in numbers. Some temptations can only be handled by that three-letter word, run. And by the way, it makes no sense to run from temptation and leave a forwarding address. Church, and let me tell you, sisters, it was easy for Samson to woo a woman. He was witty, was charming, built like a Herculean masterpiece. His muscles looked like he had been chiseled from granite. And he broke many a young girl's heart. One night he spent an evening with a whore in Gaza. The Philistines thought they had him. Samson woke up in the middle of the night, removed the gates with his own hands from the city walls, carried it to the top of a hill. Well, Even this narrow escape didn't serve to keep Samson faithful, because you know, too often narrow escapes don't deter us from the pursuit of sin. Ellen White says he did not again venture among the Philistines after that, but guess what he did? He continued to seek sensuous pleasures that were luring him to his ruin. Until one day in the valley of Sorek, he met his match, a woman with an engaging smile, a bewitching sway. She didn't pretend to be virtuous, neither was he. And so they lived together, flaunting before God in decent behavior. Samson was the strongest man on earth, but in self-control, he was one of the weakest. He couldn't resist the invitations of a whore. Listen to what the servant of God says. Many mistake strong passions for a strong character. But the truth is that he who is mastered by his passions is a weak man. The real greatness of a man is, are you with me today? The real greatness of a man is measured by the power of the feelings he is able to control. Not by the feelings that control him. Ooh, one writer said, go easy on Samson, because each of us have some sin that's like, you know, what kryptonite is to Superman. Everyone, are you with me today? All of us have some temptation that saps us of our superpowers and our good intentions. Samson's feet stayed in that downward track till he found himself asleep in Delilah's lap, all his hair cut off. Samson, cried Delilah, the Philistines be upon thee. And this time when Samson rose up to meet his enemies, as he had done many times before, he knew not, says the servant of God in the Bible, that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. God had borne long with Samson, but when he yielded himself to the power of sin, he betrayed the secret of his strength. The Lord left him. They seized him, dug out both of his eyes, and here was Samson, bound in chains, confined to hard labor. Oh, but as his hair grew back, so did his power. His enemies saw him as a helpless prisoner, and they called a feast in honor of their god Dagon. Dagon was the fish god. Everywhere they came, the temple was filled overflowing, and as the crowning trophy of Dagon's power, Samson was brought in. The people cheered, bowed down to the god called Dagon, who had overthrown Samson, the destroyer of their country. Oh, but when all seemed lost, when it seemed like the Lord had forsaken him forever, when Samson's eyes had been blinded, gouged out by his enemies, when Samson was languishing in a pit of humiliation and shame, way down there somewhere in that cesspool of sinful memories, there lived another memory. It was the memory of the joy he used to know as he once walked with the Lord. It was another memory. Way down there in that sinful swamp of memories, there was another memory. The pleasures he used to know when his soul was possessed by God's perfect peace. He remembered the pleasures that he had walking with God in perfect trust. He remembered how as he walked and communed with God, how wonderful it was. And then Samson wondered as he remembered God, if God would remember him. Samson, church, carried in his heart memories that haunted his mind. Train up a child in the way he should go. And those memories, God will use them to haunt that child, trouble his conscience. Samson had memories of early years when his mother would gather him at her knees and hold him up before the father. He remembered how through verse and song his teachers would give him moral instruction. And those memories were precious. And so Samson, right there in a Philistine temple, prayed a prayer. Lord, remember me. Strengthen me one more time. And with those words, Samson, oh Lord, circled the pillars of that temple. And he cried out, Lord, let me die with the Philistines. He bowed himself, bowed his head, pushed his arms. The Bible says the roof began to shake and tremble. And then it came down in one fell blow, destroying the vast multitude of the Philistines. And the scriptures say, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And now Samson is listed in the Faith Hall of Fame. Rescued by a memory.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today, and just about near the end of our program for today. I hope that you enjoyed the message and that it has given you something to think about. I know it certainly has done that for me. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Please refer to program number 249. That's program number 249. And that will provide you with the title, Rescued by a Memory, which we heard today. Let me also take a moment to thank you, our listeners, for the kindness that you've expressed in so many ways through the letters that we receive, through the financial contributions. We're most appreciative of all of this, and it helps us to continue the work of spreading the gospel through this program, The More Abundant Life. Also, if you would like to obtain some information about the music that you hear on The More Abundant Life, you may also direct your questions to the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. I do hope that you'll join us again for another program, but until then, I want to wish you, as I always do, God's richest blessings for the week. Join us again. Until you can, though, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, the text that is chosen for this program. And that is where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
What's in your heart?